Kate Langbrook to get a studio alone with you is like a treat that I never thought would happen to me, because for so long we were at different networks and we had a sneaky friendship on the side where we were allowed to say we're massive fans of each other's and we loved each other. But
you got in trouble for saying that once.
I did, I remember.
In a newspaper article.
I know. Yeah. Gee, they get funny publicity teams, don't they, at radio stations?
And it's ridiculous because, look, we'll all intersect at some point.
Exactly. I've got the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, with you. Leisurely. The much loved Kate Langbrook, who everybody knows and loves. But see,
not everybody loves.
They do.
No, no, I don't want everyone to
love me. No, it is good to polarise.
Do you know what? I don't even think it's good. It's just, do you know what? How can you possibly be loved by everybody without having a lobotomy?
Yeah, that's you just so can't. True, isn't it?
And you know what? I don't really particularly, it's like in my colleagues, because I've worked with the funniest people in Australia and some of them are but I'm not looking for niceness.
No.
I'm not looking for a babysitter. I look for niceness in a babysitter.
Mm.
But I don't look for that necessarily in people that I work with, because I want them to be engaging and interesting and awake.
Don't go anywhere. Kate Langbrook is boxed in with me for the whole hour. So Kate Langbrook, little Kate Langbrook, is at school, at high school. What next? Where did you go? Where were your horizons?
Well, I was never one of those people who knew what they wanted to do.
Mm.
I remember even, I think when we were in grade 11, when I was in Queensland, when you had to fill out university application forms, and a lot of the kids at my school weren't going to uni, but in my family it was expected that we'd go to university, even though we were Jehovah's Witnesses and that wasn't necessarily approved of. I had no idea what to put. And so some of my friends were putting teaching and some of them were putting nursing. I'm like, oh, my dad was a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. And then one of my teachers said, oh, you're good at English. Why don't you put journalism? And I was like, don't think I even really knew what journalism was. And I went, oh, okay. And I put it and I got in. I put law and I put journalism.
And you just sent that off?
And I got into both of them.
Gee.
Which amazed my brother, who's older than me and was real goody two shoes. And even in the Jehovah's Witnesses, he was just a real suck. Used to count the money after, you know, the meeting on the Sunday. And my dad was an elder and my brother was a ministerial servant. And I was rebellious.
Really?
Mm.
Well, did they call you that?
Yes.
That was your nickname?
Well, you know, who knows what they say behind your back. But it was more in my mind. It was more in my mind.
When did you leave the Jehovah's Witnesses?
When I started uni.
Right.
When I was 18.
And was it a case of escaping or was it you got to uni and went, I can't be bothered doing that anymore?
You know what it really was? It was finally I had the opportunity.
Mm.
You know, it was like those girls that were held prisoner by that guy in, was it Philadelphia or whatever?
Oh,
you remember one day he left the door open, like after 20 years or whatever, however long he'd been holding these girls. And one day I'm just like, someone's left the door open. I'm out.
Wow.
I'd always known. I was always looking for an opportunity, but I really thought I couldn't because I would lose my family, because that's the thing with the witnesses. I was a Jehovah's Witness. Did I say that?
You did. Yeah. You said it. Yeah. And for people who don't, I know this story, but people don't know this, Kate. That's an incredible story.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
To
grow up as a Jehovah's Witness.
It was a long time ago. It was in horse and cart days.
Were you excommunicated?
No, I wasn't, which was really lucky, because if you are, then your parents can't talk to you.
Yes.
And if you walk past people that you grew up with, they're not allowed to talk to you.
Sort of really promotes ostracism, doesn't it?
Well, that's the power of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you, and also because they're very, you mix with only each other, really.
Mm.
And because you don't go to birthdays or Christmases, that rules out any outside, pretty well any outside, you know, celebration.
Yeah.
So you're so dependent on this world of the witnesses that the thought that you might be cut off from them is a really, in most cases, unbearable.
Of course.
At that stage, though, I was looking forward to being cut off by my parents.
Boxed In with Fifi Box.
You're listening to Boxed In with Kate Langbrook. Now, Kate, let's talk social media, because I treat my Instagram like a photo album.
Yes.
I'm literally just posting nice photos I like.
Yeah.
And I have other friends and who are operating.
Yes.
And yeah. they've got logarithms. And
yeah, right.
And I go, I didn't yeah. even. I actually uploaded a photo. The young man who dropped off my pet, my new dog, the
Hello,
other night.
Is that a young man. Euphemism? What pet did he drop off?
He delivered my dog and he just got in the photo of me with my dog and everyone right. was going, oh, that was a great endorsement for him. Obviously, he right. did it for free. No, you can put a photo yeah, of someone on your Instagram without getting cash for it.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that's a novel concept, isn't it? Well, see, I'm the same because I'm like my holidays.
Yes.
I pay for my holidays.
Yes.
I pay for my car. You know what? I want to pay because then I can say whatever I want about it and I don't – and I'm
You're
just
not
beholden to someone.
It is a very tricky world but it's always, down that path.
And you look at people and what they hide in the hashtags.
Yes.
And sometimes I'm like, you've got so much money. Why are you a space for rent? I always have this conversation with Husey because yeah. Husey loves ads and yes. I don't do ads
yeah.
beyond what's in our show, you mm. know, our, to keep our show on air. But – and he loves it. And he goes, why do you think you're on the high moral ground? I'm like, I actually think for once I am. I don't know what it achieves. It achieves nothing. It's just like I can't imagine what product it would be. And hopefully one day there will be one that I would go, I want to endorse as me.
Yes.
Yeah. But when I was an actor, I had no issue with it because you're pretending to be someone else.
Of
so
course.
I just did a couple of car ads and blah, blah, blah. No problem. But as myself, then I'm going to look and go, I'm Kate Langbrook and I'm telling you
to buy this.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like I said to Husey, you can't talk. You once did an ad for fish nuggets. They were a product so reprehensible it never even got released.
Boxed In with Fifi Box.
Welcome back to Boxed In. Kate Langbrook's my special guest. Now, I want to talk because we are covering so much ground here. Everybody knows your long relationship with Husey, which is one of the greatest on-air partnerships in Australian radio. And I've loved partners. I've got a partner now.
You've partnered around.
I have partnered around a bit.
And you've had a couple of
but some interesting journeys.
Yes, haven't you?
Really?
Yeah.
And I'm loving the journey I'm on at the moment. Who knew Brendan Favola could be
Isn't
an absolute
he?
Joy. And
do you know what I love? One of the favourite things I love was a promo from your show.
Yeah.
And it was just an incidental thing about him that was just so lovely. And it's a promo about the plastic bags. I think when you had Malcolm Turnbull on.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you say, and he's going, can't we have them back? And you're laughing. You say to Malcolm Turnbull, I bet you didn't think you'd come on and be asked to have plastic bags back. And Brendan goes, just as an aside, but they're just so useful. And I like it makes me, I just, but they're just so useful. And I'm like, mate, you are spot on. They are, isn't it? It's just beautiful.
Do you know what? After all that happened and after the campaign and we finally yes. got it across yes. the line, when Fev said to me the following morning, but where do I put my footy boots?
Yes, I went, that's right.
It's a very good point.
Yes. Yes.
Where does the chicken carcass go?
Where?
I don't know anymore.
I know.
Yeah, he is a joy and it's wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, you don't get many shots, particularly in radio. Australian radio is already a small little fishbowl.
Yes, yeah.
At what stage did you realise Husey and I have something really special? Or does it just happen over time? And like you said, you now look back and go, wow, we've got this amazing radio career we've had together.
I think it's like any relationship really, isn't it? Where you, because in life I have a long-term partner as well,
yes.
my husband. Although I'm annoyed with him at the moment. So. And he's going to Japan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, for Fuji Rock. So he'll be gone for a week.
Oh.
And Sarge was saying to me, you can't let him go on bid terms. And I'm like, well, you know what? There's a slight cold war, which we never have cold war.
No, I can't
I believe
see
in hot
you
war.
And Pete
hot
having
war.
Yeah.
And then it's done. But no, we're having a, like, because he's very stubborn.
Really? Is it? And I don't want to get into too much personal detail or minutiae of it, but
yeah,
is
but
it petty or is it a big issue?
Okay.
Because the petty ones can often be a
petty cult. Manifestation of what you realise. As most petty manifestations are, it was the tiny tip of the iceberg that's underneath.
Got it. There we go. No, that's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've – and that's – obviously, look at you. You've got – a long, successful relationship in your private life and professional life.
I'm good at relationships.
You are.
Yeah, I'm quite good at relationships. That's funny, isn't it?
It's really impressive.
And with Sash, our producer, who's been with us from the start.
You're right. Mm.
So I tend to have long relationships, except with, I mean, my husband was supposed to be a one-night stand. You know, I've never been, you know.
You're not good at ending things is what I'm hearing.
That's right.
Boxed in with Fifi Box.
Hi, I'm Kate Langbrook and help me, I'm boxed in with Fifi Box.
Turning 40 has been a dream. I feel I like myself more now and I'm far more confident in myself. But see, I think you've always had that. How was that shaped in you? Was it your upbringing? Was it the Jehovah's Witnesses or is it something from your family? Like
yeah, right.
That strength of self that I imagine you're imparting on your own children.
Well, you want to, don't you?
Mm.
Because it's only really in retrospect when you, I mean, you don't even really know you've had a career till you look back.
Yes. Yeah.
It just seems like a series of bumbling boo-boos yeah. with people that you like or whatever. But that has been a part of it, is that I've always been quite certain about what I wanted to do. Well, I've had some missteps, but nothing major. I reckon it was the upbringing. And I think it was, you know, we lived in New Guinea and we're the only Jehovah's Witnesses there. And
that could make you feel like an outsider though and
well,
insecure.
That's the thing.
See, you're one of the most secure people I know.
I think people are very scared of being outsiders. It's even like now that, you know, there's a thing that we don't have, our children don't have phones.
Mm.
And one of the things, and Lewis, our eldest son, is now 14, and people are like, well, he should, he'll be left out. He'll be, like, people are so terrified of being left out.
Mm.
But it's really only in the isolation of that that you really learn where the perimeter of yourself is.
Yeah.
So really when you're in a crowd, you don't ever learn what you are.
No, you're like swimming with the tide.
Yeah, that's right. And that's lovely as well. Like it's so nice to have a tribe.
Mm.
If they're a good tribe. But I don't know. I think we're really scared of being different. Like in a world where people are, and also in our society where we prize the individual, praise be, you know,
yes.
Where there's not so much sort of collective group think or, you know, in countries where there's a billion people where people have to fall in line or, you know.
Or fall out.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. They can't even take on the thought that someone might want to go a different way.
No.
It's just good. At the time, it's painful. But most things in life that end up being valuable involve some pain or discomfort. I'm not a big fan of discomfort.
I don't like it.
I've realised I've had some forced upon me and in the end it has been beneficial, like they say in yoga.
Is that what they say in yoga?
Yeah, I've heard someone say it. But the value of it is in the discomfort.
Boxed in with Fifi Box.
Kate Langbrook's my special guest. Now, Kate, how do you deal with the pressure that comes with a career in media?
I started getting into the freezer a little while ago, the cryo chamber.
I thought you were actually meaning like into the frozen peas.
But you probably could do that.
Yeah. So what's the freezer?
So it's like a cryo chamber and part of the thing is the discomfort of it is good for you because, so you know, last year or the year before people were into, I never learnt the name of it properly, but you'd see it in magazines and stuff. Everyone's into Higgenschmorgen, which means coziness. Remember that?
They were
into
that.
Oh, the magazines. They'd always be like. There's another concept, which I also can't remember the name for. They should say it in English. I don't remember it. Is the concept of discomfort. And the thought is that every day you should do something that makes you slightly uncomfortable. If you engage in small discomforts, that when life throws up a large discomfort, which if you live long enough it will, you're better equipped to deal with it because the concept of being uncomfortable is not so foreign to you.
What would the small things be, like making myself walk up the stairs instead of the lift?
Exactly. Or like me getting in the freezer.
And just doing that.
Well, yes.
Did it help? How's the freezing going, is it?
I haven't done it since since my holiday and since I got a terrible 7-week virus. And I was so sick. And Sash, because our producer Sasha got into it as well. And we were both going to the freezer. And then she said to me the other day, do you think it's the freezer that made us sick? I'm like, it could well be. Have you got a good doctor?
I've got a great doctor.
I don't have a doctor.
Really?
No, don't.
Just do clinics.
If I have to, but I rarely need the doctor.
Oh, you're amazing.
I tried to go when I had the 7-week virus.
Oh, yeah.
From possibly getting in the freezer. And two of the doctors were sick at the clinic and it was absolute bedlam and they had locums in. And I just went, I can't be bothered with this. I think I'm going to get better.
And you did.
And see, so I left.
Here's a little lesson that I learnt the hard way. I went to locums and medical right, centres and yeah. I was living in Sydney at the time and I never had a doctor. And I endured about 12 years of unnecessary tonsillitis because no one doctor was tracking.
Right.
And then finally when I moved back to Melbourne and I went to a doctor 3 times in a row and he said, I'm going to get your tonsils looked at because you have tonsillitis once a week. And they went in and they just said they've eroded to the point where they're just pussy pads.
Fifi, it was disgusting. Box, no one. Imagine someone's just turned on. They've just turned on. Sunday afternoon, the glorious city.
Pussy pads.
And that's what they hear.
And the thing is, though, they cut them out. The most painful thing I've gone through my whole entire life. And I'm barely sick these days, barely. I'll get one or two colds a year, whereas I was sick every
that
week.
That was always your
Achilles. And the lesson I learned was a consistent doctor would have picked up on something that a myriad of locums never did.
All right, that's true. But I don't have a recurring thing.
No, you're okay.
I feel a bit happier.
You make me
not
happy.
That I was unhappy, but how lovely.
I know. I could just sit here and talk to you all.
Is this it? Are we done? Terrible. Poor people. I've heard Higginbottom and Turkenmurken.
Kate Lambrook, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
I'm sorry, I'll say anytime.